Once again, good morning, everyone. It's good to have everybody with us online this morning. Just a quick note. Thank you, worship team. Just a quick note. Next week, we will be doing service in the park, Salem Park, live. And so we encourage you to be there in person if you can, or watch us once again live if you can. For the last couple of weeks, we have looked at a couple of God's surprise visits to people in the Bible. First of all, we looked at Jacob, who tried to trick his way through life, and God showed up, and his name ended up getting changed from trickster to Israel, which means rules as a prince with God. And then we looked at Abraham in his later years, who was waiting for God's provision. Early on, he and Sarah had tried to help God out, and Ishmael was born, and that didn't turn out so well. But later on in his life, he realized that he needed to wait for the promise of God, and he did. These were personal situations that impacted humanity, but what about things that happen globally? So this morning, right now, we are living in a time, okay, where we not only have global situations, but we hear about them instantaneously. Following God in a close personal relationship, we can have assurance that He will carry us through any global situation. Genesis 6, 9 through 12 is a part of the story of Noah. Now, you talk about a global situation. Just a little bit of prehistory here. The world had got to the point where it was so violent and so evil, God decided to destroy it. But it says that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And we're going to look at how God used one family through a global crisis to start over. Genesis 6, starting with verse 9, it says, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God." Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you're in a situation where you're the only one who is listening to God, the only one that is following God, the only one that has any clue as to what God might be doing? Well, Noah was there in a real sense. Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence, and God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, "I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat, and put the door on the side and build three decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I am about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, but I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you, your wife, and your sons, and their wives. And bring a pair of every kind of animal, a male and a female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Pairs of every kind of bird and every kind of animal and every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family and for all the animals." Verse 22, it says, "So Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him." One time I had an individual come up to me very sarcastically, said, "So Pastor, do you think that Noah got all those animals on the boat?" And I said, "Well, actually, no. And he was kind of shocked because I don't think that was the answer he was expecting. I said, you see, I said, if you read the whole story, you find out that God got all those animals on the boat. Noah didn't. And then he came back at me. He just wanted to fight. And he said, are you kidding me? That you believe that kind of a fairy tale, that kind of a myth? And I said, well, in order to believe that, you have to go back to the first verse in the Bible and believe that one. He goes, well, what's that? I said, well, the first verse says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. That's my God. Yeah, I think God could fit all the animals and all those humans on the boat. I think God can do exactly what the Bible said that God did. So we notice that Noah, in this story, is walking in close fellowship with God. And when we are walking with close fellowship with God, we are very aware of the violence and the corruption around us. I mean, it is thrown in our faces minute by minute. It'd be nice if they'd show us more of the nice stuff. I mean, I'm to the point where I'm watching kitten videos. But you see, there is a lot of corruption. There's a lot of violence. But because of what's going on right now, God has promised at least two things will happen when violence and corruption increases. First of all, God promises this, that there will be another flood. Whoa, wait a minute, Pastor. The rainbow's in the atmosphere. We can't have another flood. God promised it. Well, God promised another flood, but not by water. If we go to Acts 2:17, which is a prophecy fulfilled in the New Testament from Joel 2:28-32, it says this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. There is a flood right now in the world, and there has been since Christ was taken to heaven, a flood of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is flooding the world. At this point in time, you're not hearing about it, but there are more people hearing the gospel, more people responding to God's love, and the Holy Spirit is convicting the hearts and strengthening the believers more than he ever has before. And we know that because in John 16:8, God says this, Jesus says this. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The Holy Spirit is at work. People are starting to be concerned about the way they live. The Holy Spirit's power of conviction will increase as sin in the world increases. Wait a minute. How do I know that? Once again, Romans 5:20 in the Bible. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version to give a little clearer picture of what God is telling us. But the law came to increase and expand the awareness of the trespasses by defining and unmasking sin. You see, when we have laws, people realize they're breaking them and they realize they're sinning. But listen to the second part of this verse. But where sin increased and is increasing, God's remarkable gracious gift of grace, his unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increased all the more. That gift of grace, the primary gift of grace that God gives with all of his grace giftings, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, the grace gift that he has given the world in an unsurpassed amount is the Holy Spirit being poured out upon mankind, upon the believers, and upon the world to show the world the sin around it. As sin increases, God's grace, God's love, God's power, God's unmerited, unleashed favor is released even more. Which brings us to the second thing that God will do. Because of the flood of the Holy Spirit, God's grace will increase supernaturally to pour out into the world. For wherever sin exists in abundance and is multiplying and constantly expanding, that is precisely the time and place where grace is poured out in a far greater, surpassing quantity. You see, this verse in Romans, when we look at that phrase, all the more is a Greek word, which is an amazing word. It's huperprosisio. And it describes something that grows out of measure. It describes something beyond any proportion that we can measure or understand. It describes something that is out of its banks to a far-stretched extreme. A good example would be if the Mississippi River completely flooded the United States. Not just the delta, not just the valleys, but completely flooded. You see, the Holy Spirit is being poured out all the more than sin can handle, more than the devil can handle, more than the world can handle. The Holy Spirit is being poured out. You see, Noah built an ark to save humanity. But God has provided Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit as an ark of promise, an ark of protection, an ark of grace to save us from humanity. Noah saved humanity. Jesus saves us from our humanity. So that we're not corrupt, so that we're not violent, so the world can see the difference, and the world can see that difference and not only be convicted by the Holy Spirit working on their senses, but the Holy Spirit working through us to show them what God really looks like. There are no surprises that will overwhelm us. I'm not sure that Noah was very surprised when God showed up and said, Noah, we're going to do it different, because it says that he walked in close fellowship with God. So I encourage you today, walk in close fellowship with God. And those global surprises that happen, the global surprises that we will continue to see until the end of times, until our Savior comes and takes us home with him, those global surprises will not be a surprise to those who are walking with God in close fellowship. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, that with you there are no surprises. We thank you, Father, that you come to us and you have come to us through the Word. You come to us in our quiet time. You come to us in prayer. You come to us, Lord, through messages that are prophetically being announced through the church. No surprises. Because, God, you are the God. You are the God that prepares us. You are the God that sustains us. And you are the God that is on the other end of everything that has ever happened and ever will happen. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that today you will give us the power of the Holy Spirit within us in an overwhelming, out of its banks capacity to handle anything that comes into this world, into our lives, and into the history that you have already created. In Jesus' name, amen.